Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY25 earnings conference call of Kandhar Oil Refinery India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Viral Sanklecha from MUFG Intime. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to the Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call of Kandhar Oil Refinery India Limited. To discuss the Q4 and FY25 business performance, we have from the management Mr. Akhilesh Parekh, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Inderjit Bhattacharya, CFO. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainty. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website and stock exchanges. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Viral, very much. Good afternoon, everyone who is present on this conference call. I, Akhilesh Parekh, Joint Managing Director of Kandhar Oil Refinery India Limited. I am joined by my CFO, Mr. Inderjit Bhattacharya. We appreciate your time and interest as we review our financial performance for the fourth quarter and the full year of FY25. Today, I will provide an overview of our business performance amidst a dynamic economic landscape. During the quarter four ended FY25, we recorded a revenue of 9,617 million. For the full year ending FY25, our revenue stood at INR 38,969 million. In volume terms, we saw a healthy increase of around 3% from FY24 to FY25, a clear sign of stable operational throughput. However, revenues from operations were affected primarily due to a reduction in average realization from INR 82,824 per KL in FY24 to 76,223 per KL in FY25. The contraction was mainly driven by softening prices, reduced demand in FMCG and pharma segments, and the broader impact of global geopolitical challenges that we have been facing. Our international business remains a cornerstone of our strategy. Our overseas sales still contribute to around 40.2% of the total sales both in Q4 FY25 and for the full financial year. However, export revenue decreased from INR 24,028 million in FY24 to INR 15,656 million in FY25, largely due to shipping disruptions in the Red Sea and the ongoing conflict such as the Russia-Ukraine war. Despite this, we successfully mitigated the impact by strengthening our domestic market presence, leading to a compensatory rise in the domestic sales. This shift in sales mix is part of our deliberate and agile approach to market dynamics, showing our ability to adapt quickly and to protect our overall top-line performance. On the operational front, our consolidated manufacturing volumes remained stable, while standalone manufacturing volume grew to 99,934 KL in quarter four ended FY25. While pricing headwinds affected our top line, we maintained a cost discipline with reduction in both finance cost and our employee cost in absolute and percentage terms, demonstrating our focus on efficiency. There has been a slight increase in other expenses, mainly due to the higher shipping freight rates arising from the global disruptions. However, these are expected to stabilize in the coming quarters. In Kandhar Oil, we remain firmly committed and focused to our long-term growth strategy. Our focus continues to be on expanding our presence in the white oil segment, particularly in the PHPO, that is the personal care, healthcare, and the performance oil segment, where we are driving product diversification, geographic expansion, and even deeper customer engagement, positioning us for sustainable growth and amid an evolving macroscopic landscape. While shipment delays and freight cost escalations have presented near-term challenges, we view this as a very one-off and temporary disruption. We are confident in gradual improvement in the quarter ahead as global chains are stabilizing. In terms of forward-looking developments, we are excited to share that your company has signed a non-binding agreement with the Jawaharlal Nehru Port Authority, that is the JNPA, for the proposed Vadhavan Port project, a greenfield deep draft major port being developed in Palghar district of Maharashtra in collaboration with the Maharashtra Maritime Board. The port, which is expected to have its completion by 23 million tons per annum.
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but your voice dropped in the middle after the port.
Okay. The port slated to complete is expected to be complete by FY30. Is designed to handle a significant cargo volume, including 23 million tons of containers per annum. It will host multiple terminals, including container, liquid cargo, and coast guard berth, all the three. We intend to set up a tank terminal for the storage of our base oils, chemicals and other liquids, along with blending plant at the jetty. The envisaged investment stands at around 1,000 crores, subject to necessary regulatory clearance and successful bidding outcomes. We believe this project has the potential to significantly enhance our logistics efficiency and strengthen our long-term supply chain capabilities. With this, I hand over my call to Mr. Indrajit Bhattacharya, who is the CFO, who will take you through the financial in detail. Thank you once again. Over to you, Mr. Bhattacharya.
Thank you, Ashlesh Bhai, and everyone who has joined us on this call. I shall now take you through the financial performance of Gandhar Oil Refinery for the fourth quarter and the full year of FY24-25. In Q4-25, our consolidated revenue stood carrying on for the full year ending on FY25, consolidated revenue stood at INR 38,969 million. On a consolidated basis, EBITDA for Q4 FY25 stood at INR 336 million. For the full year ended FY25, EBITDA totaled at INR 1756 million. Consolidated profit after tax for the Q4 FY25 was INR 123 million, and for full year ended 25 stood at rupees 835 million. On a consolidated basis, there has been marginal increase in inventory and debtors and a reduction in creditors' days. The current ratio remains healthy. The debt equity ratio stays at nominal levels. Thank you for all your attention. This concludes my summarization, and with that, we'll open the floor for any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Viraj Mehta from Enigma. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Sir, you said that, I mean, if I look at the presentation, there is gross profit has actually increased this quarter. This is in spite of our raw material prices correcting, which would have led to inventory losses. So can you explain how did this happen, or and what is the quantum of inventory losses we had in Q4, and what would be the inventory losses we are already having in Q1 till now?
As far as inventory losses are concerned, I'd like to point out that we hardly carry any significant inventory. So the question of inventory losses practically is minimum. And yes, the gross margin did improve because it also had led to an improvement in the procurement basis and the procurement terms.
Okay. So this 1,130 kind of gross margins, in your view, is this kind of sustainable?
The endeavor is, you know, to have a increased gross margin. So obviously, these are not the reflection of the gross margin that we would like to keep. Obviously, you know, internally, you know, we have a benchmark of what gross margins we would like to achieve, you know. Being a forward-looking statement, I would refrain, you know, in giving you a forward-looking statement. But yes, we would like to say definitely, you know, improve the gross margin from where we are today in the quarter four.
Right. And sir, post our IPO, if I see, and again, I'm probably new to your company, so please pardon me if my question is not correct. But if I look at post-IPO, from FY23, our sales have essentially remained constant or fallen a little bit because of decreasing realization. But our EBITDA from 320-odd crores has fallen off the cliff to 175 crores. In your view, once the gross margins are stabilized and you will not see any temporary issues like freight, what's the sustainable gross margins you think you can do? And EBITDA margins.
Yeah, sure. See, although the revenue has been constant, you know, or a slight increase or decrease, but you know, if you see the volume, if you compare it vis-a-vis our volume, we have shown a volume growth even, you know, in FY ended in the current year, in the last year FY ended FY25. So there has been an increase in the volume basis. So that is would be a real indicator in terms of the performance of the company, because revenue, you know, is a component of the raw material that we use, which are subject to, you know, changes in the price because of the fluctuation. So there has been an increment in the volume terms, which we already highlighted during my speech. Can you just repeat your second question?
Gross margins.
Sir, EBITDA margins have significantly fallen since our IPO days. So, as an outside investor, I don't know what is the sustainable EBITDA margins, because, like, are they what you were doing earlier, as in high single digits, or are they today 5%, 6% is the real reflection of our numbers? So, I don't know, so I'm asking.
See, as you are well aware, you know, there across the board, you know, including all the chemical specialty chemical industries, you know, there was, you know, COVID related, you know, incremental margins, you know, which was there by all the companies, I mean, which was even reported by us. You know, so obviously we would, you know, ensure that we would like to, obviously the endeavor is, you know, to have, you know, high single digit or double digit of gross margins, you know, going forward, EBITDA margins going forward, you know, so that is the endeavor that where, you know, we would like to benchmark ourselves against. And we are, you know, trying our level best, you know, by optimizing our cost, optimizing our inventory, you know, adding new products as well, you know, to achieve this gross margins.
Just to take off from there, we are in the process of getting into higher value addition products, which will contribute to higher EBITDA.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Isha Murthy from IM Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, as you mentioned that you target high EBITDA, so, like, considering the stabilization in the global supply chain, you have also mentioned that. So, what is your outlook in the financial year 26?
So, financial year 26, on a volume basis, we are projecting an increment of about 10 to 12%. And we anticipate that the realizations, which are currently around at 76,000 rupees per KL, will also improve. Further, there is a big component of cost increase on account of the Red Sea issue. We are hopeful that that should get stabilized. If that happens, the freight costs also will come down substantially. So yes, we are looking positive towards the next year.
Okay. And my second question would be, like, how do you expect your product mix to evolve in, like, financial year 26? Especially with PHP only currently contributing about 47.27%.
We have been trying to optimize our product mix by focusing on more, you know, value-added products, you know, which are primarily in the PHPO segment. So, you know, our endeavor is, you know, to further increase, strengthen our PHPO revenues, and also, you know, further increase our PHPO revenues from where we are today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Roy from RR Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah.
So thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. So first is, sir, how are we managing our raw material procurement and the pricing volatility, especially in lubricant and PIO segments? Second question is, sir, what is our current utilization rate across the manufacturing facilities, and do we see any foresee in capacity constraints?
Okay, taking your last question first, no capacity constraints at all, because we have enhanced capacity at our Taloja plant last year itself, and we have not yet reached that peak capacity utilization of the Taloja plant. So capacity is not a problem. Raw material, as you know, is mostly procured from refineries across the globe, and this is an index-based procurement, and I mean, This entire pricing is index-based, and even with the movement in the price of crude, it gives us enough time to anticipate that movement and work it out. So it's a pretty tried and tested method which has worked out for us.
Okay, sir, I have one more question. Sir, could you give me some color on any international markets which are driving our growth as of today?
Which are drying out?
Yeah, which are helping us in driving the growth?
See, Andhra is exporting its product to 100 plus countries across the globe, you know. The exports are almost evenly spread out across the various regions, including Asia Pacific, including in the Americas, including the Africas. But, you know, if you look at the skewness, you know, the majority of the sales are still coming in from Africa and South America. But we are trying, you know, to still, you know, strengthen our existing PHPO base of customers, you know, including our multinational customers, you know, like Unilever or Procter & Gamble and our local multinationals, you know, where we are adding new products and we are growing in terms of volume with the existing customers.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you for asking. Thank you for answering the question. That's it from my side.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankita Agarwal from RKA Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, Ankita, you're audible.
So my question is regarding CHPO segment, which continues to lead the revenue. So are there any plan to expand the capacity or launch new products in this segment?
We had, you know, undertaken a capacity expansion, you know, which has just come to stream from, I think, late last year or early this year. So obviously there is no current requirement of capacity enhancement, to be frank, but we are covered, you know, for at least next couple of years, you know, for the capacity, as far as the capacity goes. But in case, you know, if we are able to, you know, sell our products quickly and if there be a need of, you know, doing a capacity expansion, we have enough strength in our balance sheet, you know, to take care of the future capacity expansion. Coming to your second question in terms of the PHPO, we are, you know, working on the product line, you know, we are trying to add new products as well. We will soon come back to you, you know, with what all products, you know, we are adding, you know, in the near future, which will further strengthen our margins. It's a little bit too early for me, you know, to discuss on what products, you know, we'll be coming up with.
Okay, sir, thank you. And also, what factor contributed to this strong 19% year-on-year growth in standalone manufacturing volume?
As informed, you know, in the call, we had a drop in the export volume. So, you know, our sales team was capable enough, you know, in terms of, you know, distributing the product to the domestic customers, you know. So, obviously, there has been, you know, incremental customers, new customers, which has been added across the various categories. Plus, you know, we had, because of the global disruption in exports, the team was versatile enough, you know, to focus on the domestic sales.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much for answering.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kevin Mehta from Star Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, I have two broadly questions. So, first is, can you elaborate on the strategic rationale or expected benefits of rupees 1,000 crore MOU with JNPA for the Vardhman port project?
See, currently there's just been a non-binding MOU which has been signed, okay? Subject to, you know, we awarding the tender, being awarded, you know, in the bidding, obviously, you know, we'll be setting up a state of art blending facility and also tank storage terminal over there. You know, it is too early for me, you know, to tell you in terms of, you know, what could be the answer, because the project itself is getting started by end of 2030. So it's too early for us, you know, to give you a ballpark amount of savings that we may have, or, you know, the sales that
incremental income also.
Yeah.
Got it, sir. So any sort of planning regarding the funding sources you are considering for this investment?
Obviously, it would be a combination of...
We've kept our options open over there. Okay, so obviously we will be the major equity partner in that. We are also open, we will also have available term loan facilities available for this. And if required, we could also have a set up an SPV with some other partner to get in strategic and financial help in that matter.
See, just to add one more line, see, even if you see today, we don't have any long-term debt. Our long-term debt is zero. So obviously, we have enough strength in the balance sheet as well, you know, to take care of even this specific new project as well.
Okay, got it. That was really helpful. And sir, can you help me with the any sort of revenue guidance or the volume growth in coming years like FY26 and beyond?
See, obviously, as Mr. Inderjit highlighted, the endeavor is, you know, to grow in double digit in terms of volume, you know, for FY26 as well. And, you know, we would like to, you know, keep this as a benchmark, not only in top line, but even in bottom line.
Okay. Okay, sir. That answers my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Moksh Ranka from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. I would like to know, currently we have 305 crore as our debt. What is the peak debt which we are anticipating?
Sorry. We lost you in between.
Can you speak a bit louder?
Can you speak up a bit?
Yeah. Hello. Is this better now?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah, so we currently have around 300 crore of debt. So could you give some color on debt reduction plan, or is this the peak debt?
No. So this is most of the debt that you see over here. There is no debt on the standalone level. The most of the debt that you see over here is on account of our subsidiary at Sharjah. It is expected to reduce as we go ahead because the utilization, the churning will be quicker. So I don't see us having debt beyond this. If not, if it could be incremental slightly, otherwise this is the peak debt.
Okay. And what is the current capacity utilization?
So in the Indian plants, the capacity utilization would be around that 85-86%. On account of the recently installed capacity at the Indian plants. At the Sharjah plant, the capacity is around 60-65%.
Okay, and when would we look at CapEx? At what capacity utilization are we would look at CapEx, if any?
Like Mr. Ashtesh just explained right now, we have installed capacity right now which is spare. See, what capacity we built up at the end of last year means 24, okay, that all that will come, it will take us 2-3 years to catch up to that capacity. So we don't see any capacity enhancement required in the next 2-3 years. After that we see the CapEx.
Okay, and could you give some color on, we are getting into some value-added projects. So generally, how our current, comparing to our current gross margins, these value-added products, how gross margin improvement we can see in those?
So these value-added products are mostly in PHPO and lubricants. And these, if and when they do happen, this will generate additional gross margin by, we expect the gross margin to go up significantly by 4-5%.
Okay. That's it from me now. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind the participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, did we have any forex losses in the second half?
Forex positive.
Forex positive. Understood. And sir, now freight costs, we mentioned that it had increased because of Red Sea crisis. But sir, from what I understand, this issue was in the first half of FY25. Post that the freight costs had reduced. So why has it still affected us in Q4?
No. The vessels are still not going through the Red Sea. The vessels are still going down all the way down to Cape of Good Hope to go across. So that is why the freight cost still remains the same. we had expected with the coming of the recent US president that this issue will probably be even out, but it has still not happened, and the Red Sea still remains an issue.
Understood. And sir, what would be the rate differential between going from the two routes?
Sorry, come again.
Rate differential between the two routes.
See, obviously, I mean, the differential is the difference. I mean, the incremental freight, you know, that we had incurred, you know.
So, just to give you an indicator, we have additional freight cost during this year of close to 13 crores, which was not there last year.
But as you rightly said, you know, the freight rates have started softening as we see from, you know, end March, early April. So obviously we, you know, I think, you know, we'll not have this additional freight cost, you know, in the quarter coming forward.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thanks, sir, for answering the questions.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Bhavesh Patel from Patel Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, and thanks a lot, Ashlesh Bhai, as well as Abhijit, for setting up this call and giving us the opportunity to interact. I hope you will continue this practice. My question is around, you did answer in terms of CapEx plan that worked out for both Taloja as well as Silvassa, and how the margin would expand around it. But is there any impact because of the tariff war that we are having with US? Because I do remember, you know, we did close out the US FDA observations, and we were hoping to have some more higher margin products, especially for US. That is number one. And the second is, why do we diversify into building that Wadhwan port terminal rather than, you know, growing inorganically, I mean, in terms of buying a smaller companies in our core domain itself? I mean, those are the two strategic questions from my side.
See, as far as you are correct, we got an US FDA approval in the month of October last year. The idea was to expand our PHPO portfolio, which we are, you know, focused on and which we are doing, you know, by adding new products. We have started getting orders, you know, from customers, you know, for after this US FDA approval, you know, the volumes have increased. There has been traction from the customers as well since the plant is now FDA approved. Coming back to your second question on the tariff war, you know, currently the products that we are exporting, you know, that there is no such new tariffs being, you know, as of now, you know, while we speak, there has been no such incremental tariffs being added, you know, on the product that we are currently exporting. So we are, you know, hopeful enough that, you know, Trump would not be, you know, adding tariff to this kind of product. Now coming to a second question on diversification into Wadhwan port. See, majority of our business, if you look at the total landscape at Gandhar, is into imports and exports. So there would be, you know, substantial amount of saving in case, you know, we have a facility in the port, you know, which would, you know, help in optimization of our transportation cost, optimization of, you know, the resources being required, and in terms, you know, also help us in achieving the sustainability factor.
This is more or less a lateral integration on our part, because storage is a very important part in our business, and this gives us additional storage cost, and also this gives us additional storage facility, reduces the storage requirement, and also gives us opportunity to lease the additional storage facility that will generate and generate income out of that. So it's not exactly absolute different field that we're getting into.
Sure, understood. Thank you. And any, I mean, again, at the right time, but I hope with our strong balance sheet, you are also looking at inorganic growth as well, as because, you know, organic growth, you are talking about, you know, high teens or double digit, lower double digit teens, but basically saying that inorganic growth will be far better.
We are open for inorganic growth as well. So obviously, you know, the team is looking for the right ticket and right size of the transaction to happen. So we will, you know, we are having our eyes open.
Perfect. Thank you very much, and all the very best. Very, very hopeful. Continue your great efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, We will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Viral Saklecha from MUFG in time for closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to thank management for taking this time out for this conference call today, and thanks to all the participants. If you have any queries, please feel free to contact us. We are MUFG Intime India Private Limited, Investor Relations Advisors to Gandhar Oil Refinery India Limited. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Gandhar Oil Refinery India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.